Well, many parts around the world, you can find gravestones marking the resting places of Australian veterans who lost their lives in war. But for those who made it home, many died with little recognition of their service. Families perhaps unable to afford a proper headstone. It's inspired a movement to find the unmarked graves of World War I diggers, tracking down surviving family members and providing headstones to recognise their service. Andrea Gerard is the co-creator and chairperson of the Headstone Project Tasmania, and Ian Hopley is a former detective and the investigations manager for the Headstone Project in South Australia, which was inspired by the work in Tassie. Andrea and Ian are my guests this morning on Changing Australia. A very warm welcome to both of you.
Good morning and thank you for asking us.
Yeah, morning, Sally.
Andrew, both your grandfathers served in the Great War. Two of your uncles didn't come back. How were those stories told to you when you were growing up?
I honestly don't really remember, but it was always Uncle Harold, as my mother's uncle was always referred to. We just knew the stories. Mum just seemed to tell us when we were, you know, when we were younger. There was a box of medals in the cupboard that I used to play with, and that I think that's where some of that came from. There was nothing. Both my grandfathers served. My great uncles didn't come back, and my parents both served in the Second World War. So Anzac Day was always a day when we, you know, we stopped and remember. But Mum and Dad were doing other things with during the year, involved in particularly her friends that had been in the women's service. So the military history of the family was just there. Mm. It was talked about in normal conversations.
Mm. Ian, we know from the records that while there were many casualties during World War One, those service men and women who came back to Australia, they survived the war. The number of deaths in the years following, particularly in the 20s and 30s, was very high because many of the servicemen had endured injuries and illness during the war. How stark are those figures when you think about how many made it home and then didn't live very long after that?
Look, I think it was horrendous, the amount of young men who died after the war. And it was in the days too where when these chaps came back, they were just told to get on with life, you know, forget about what's happened in the past. But for a lot of them, of course, they suffered what we now know as post-traumatic stress disorder. They used to call it shell shock. And a lot of them not only ended up in mental institutions, etc., but also they turned to alcohol. They drifted. They drifted around the country looking for work, especially around the Great Depression era. And they ended up in little country towns where, you know, no one knew them. And if they did pass away, they were often buried just by the goodwill of the local community.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, cruelly as well, when some of these men were coming home from World War One, influenza was striking. So some didn't, you know, barely got home and were struck. Others had finished the war in Europe and the Middle East and were struck by flu there. They had some very difficult experiences and years ahead of them, Ian.
Oh, look, definitely. And here in South Australia, you know, we know of a lot of deaths of the World War One veterans as a result of the Spanish flu epidemic. And in fact, there is a mass grave in a West Terrace Cemetery where we don't know where the mass grave is, but we know there's a lot of veterans there. We have the records, but we don't know where it is.
Mm. For you, Andrea, why is it so important to you to track down these graves, to connect family with those locations and make sure a headstone's in place?
I think some of it is the fact that, for me personally, is that we knew from the history books that Andrew Fisher said, oh, we'll look after these men when you go away. Well, that promise was never kept. And I think it's up to our generation, who are aware of what happened there, to step in and at least do something to make sure that these men are not consigned to to being forgotten, but have are remembered, that their service is commemorated, and that we say thank you to these men for volunteering to fight in a war that they didn't really know what they were in for once they left here. Mm. I think the 2,000 or 3,000 Tasmanians that didn't come back, a lot of them just, they went because that was the thing to do. Some of it result is back to when the kid, they were at school. King and country was the thing that you saluted every day. It was almost part of your DNA. And so when Britain was in trouble, Australia stepped in.
Mm-hmm. Ian, pretty handy having you on board as a former detective. How does this process work? Where does it start and how do you go about it?
What we do, and look, yes, certainly the background helps, and having done it now for 5 years and being in charge of the investigation team. But what we do, there are lots of records available through genealogy sites, different organisations, and how we start off. Obviously, the easiest ones are where we're contacted by a relative, a descendant, a club, an RSL club, a history society, who tell us that they know of a veteran in an unmarked grave. But essentially what we would do here in South Australia, and bear in mind, we cover the whole of the state, 980,000 square kilometres of it, and over 900 cemeteries that we know of throughout this state. But what we do, we allocate a cemetery to one of our investigators. They will get a complete list of everyone that's buried in the cemetery. They will then, unfortunately, cross out the women. Now, I'm not being sexist there, but there was only 3,000 women served in World War I, and they were all nurses. And, of course, when they've come back, there's been name changes, etc. So they're very difficult to find. But having said that, we have found quite a few. We then go through that list and we pick out all the male who were born between 1870 and 1900, because that would put them into enlistment age. And then we'd then cross-index that with the National Archives of Australia, because all World War I records through attestment papers are now online and they're available free of charge. And at the moment, they are also uploading World War II information. So we then go through that after cross-indexing that, and we try to work out whether it's the same person in the grave. We look at the records of the cemetery. We look at the numerous genealogy sites that we have access to, plus Trove, the National Library. All the old newspapers are there, so we look at personal notices, things like that. There's a lot of work goes into it, and also a lot of the veterans were born overseas, so that adds another layer of complexity to it, trying to get access to records. And then we take it from there, and our researchers then look at their background, their family background, their military history, and then we go into the hard part, because it is a requirement that we try and find a living descendant.
And then once you find a living descendant, do you consult with the family about whether they wish to have a headstone placed?
Oh, absolutely. And what's interesting, we've got a current strike rate of about 95% in finding a descendant. Now, it may not be a lineal descendant, but it could be an offshoot, such as a great-great-nephew, great-great-niece, a cousin, whatever. We explain to them what we're doing. And one of the things we tell them right at the outset, we're not after money. We don't charge any money to the relatives, to the descendants. And I think in the whole time I've been doing it, I think I've had one person said they weren't interested. And, we've done upwards of 800 investigations to date. We've installed nearly 200 headstones, memorials around the state. We get a great deal of gratitude from the descendants, who, for many of them, they've never heard of this person before, until we actually tell them about it. And then when we actually get to do the unveiling, we invite the relatives along, and we often we'll invite dignitaries, the local politicians, mayors, etc., to come along, and we make a bit of a day of it. And some of these families are meeting other descendants who they either didn't know of or they haven't seen for many, many years. And we've had some wonderful family reunions as a result of what we do.
How special is it to follow this process through, Andrea, and have the families there for a ceremony like this?
I think it's everything, because that's what we're largely doing it for. We're doing it for the veterans and for their families. And the process that Ian's just described is the one that we started with when we first did this project. I don't have a team of detectives or any for me here, but that's okay. We manage. Facebook has been wonderful. We use that, and we use a lot of people now, because we've been doing this project for 15 years in Tasmania. There's lots of people who say, "Oh yes, I've heard of you. I know what you do. You're the lady with the headstones." and Ian, I think, oh yeah.
Ian, for you, I go crashing around in archives pretty much on a weekly basis in the National Archives, Trove and elsewhere, chasing up various things. For you, when you're in there looking at that documentation, do you feel that sense of connection with these people who've been lost once you start to get more and more information about them?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's a big part and one of the rewarding things that we do. You know, we also do a wonderful project with one of our schools here in South Australia at St Mary's College. And what happened there was that their history teacher spoke to me. Now, I do have a vested interest because both my daughters went there. But they're right opposite the West Terrace Cemetery in Adelaide.
Ah, yes.
And what happened in year nine in semester three, they, as part of the South Australian curriculum, they do a study on World War One. So I said, well, look, we've got all these unmarked graves at West Terrace. Why don't you bring the girls over? We'll allocate each of the girls a name and they have to go and find the grave. So that means they have to learn to read the cemetery maps, find the grave, photograph it, and then go back and research it. Well, once the girls started doing that, suddenly they're realising that these people in these graves, they were real people. Mm. You know, they weren't just a name out of a book. And we've done three lots now. Last year we did Australian Army nurses with them, and this year we've found a lot more graves over there. In fact, we've found another 250 unmarked graves in West Terrace that we know of, and that's just the start. And that's a heritage listed cemetery as well. But the project we do with these girls, the projects that they've done and the essays that they've put forward have just been absolutely fantastic, and they help us out too. And where possible, we will upload parts of that to the Virtual War Memorial that any Australian's got access.
Yeah, fantastic organisation as well. Well, it's been wonderful to hear about this project, and it sounds like there's still many more mysteries to uncover and to reunite families with these grave sites. Andrea and Ian, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Sally. It's lovely to talk to you.